1 Kings chapter 21, if you care to turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. This is really one of the last messages in the series I've been preaching on Sunday nights for a couple of years, Big Events of the Old Testament, as we're going through the big events of the Old Testament in a chronological sequence. I tell you, Mike, I was thinking, if we could just take all the experience and wisdom in this group and bottle it and sell it, we could pay for this new building in cash. You know that? You guys are just so wonderful, and I really envy Mike getting to go with y'all and Daryl up there to Washington. I know y'all are going to have a great time. How many of you have ever heard Dr. R.G. Lee preach Payday Someday? I know some of you up here have, and some of you out there. For many years, Dr. R.G. Lee was pastor of the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. And this was a sermon he preached, I want to say, almost 2,000 different times. I heard it on two occasions. He usually took an hour and a half to preach it, but don't worry. I am basing this message tonight on the way he preached Payday Someday, but of course I'm changing it and I can't do it justice the way he preached it. And so tonight I want to tell you the story about murder in a vineyard. I introduce to you the four characters who are in this story tonight. First, there is a man by the name of Naboth. Naboth was a citizen of the town of Jezreel. For many generations, Naboth and his family had owned a plot of land right near the palace where the king lived. And Naboth had grown up taking care of the vineyard that had been his father's and his father's father. Naboth was a noble man and a good, fine citizen. The next character I introduce to you is Ahab, the most wicked king who ever sat on the throne of the nation of Israel. In fact, the Bible says, of all the kings of Israel, none did more evil in the sight of the Lord than did Ahab. He ruled an army, but he could not rule his own passions and his own desire and lust for more and more. He controlled an army, but yet he was under the thumb of his wicked wife. And I introduce to you the third character in this story. Her name is Jezebel. Jezebel was a foreigner. She was the daughter of Ahab. She married Ahab in a political alliance, and then she began to control first his life and then control the whole religious life of the nation of Israel. Baal is a worship of fertility, and Jezreel and all of her maidens practiced all kinds of vulgar acts of worship, and the nation of Israel became degraded and defiled in the eyes of God. If Ahab was the vile toad who squatted on the throne of Israel, Jezebel was the wicked adder coiled beside the throne. And then I introduce to you Elijah, God's preacher. Elijah was a plain-spoken man. He dressed in plain clothes, but underneath those plain clothes beat a heart for God. Elijah was the one who was fed by the ravens and fed by widows, but yet his heart beat for God. He was both a natural, physical, and a spiritual athlete for God. He spoke fearlessly for the God of heaven. And with the introduction to you of Naboth, Jezebel, Ahab, and Elijah, I bring to you the story of murder in a vineyard. If you look there in 1 Kings chapter 21, it says, sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth, the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Act 1 of this drama is mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 1. Act 1, scene 1 is this. It's what we might call a real estate request. Naboth worked this little vineyard that had belonged to his father and his father's father. And one day, Ahab was looking out from the walls of his palace, and he noticed this beautiful vineyard, and he decided he wanted to have that vineyard, although he had plenty of vineyards. He decided he wanted that vineyard for his own personal vegetable garden because it was convenient to his palace. And so he goes down in there, and he calls to Naboth, and he says, Naboth, I want to buy your vineyard. I'll give you any price you want for your vineyard. Or better yet, Naboth, I will give you another vineyard if you'll just give me your vineyard. Now, Naboth, as the king, I say unto you, give me your vineyard. Naboth said respectfully to the king, God forbid that I should give up the inheritance that was mine and my father's and my father's father's, and this vineyard shall go to my sons. God forbid that I should give you my vineyard. And so Ahab went back to the palace. And the Bible says, like a little pouting child, he went to bed in the middle of the day, rolled over and turned his face to the wall and refused to eat. When his servants brought him luscious food from the royal kitchen, he said, "Take it away, I don't want it." And he moped and he pouted and he was sitting in a sullen soap. Later that day, when word got around that Ahab was pouting, we see the second scene. And the second scene of Act 1 is what we would call a wicked wife. Jezebel comes sashaying into the royal bedroom and sees her husband with his back turned to her, facing the walls, sobbing in disappointment and depression. And she says to him, like probably many women have said to many men through the years, "What's the matter, big boy? What you so sad about?" And Ahab said, "I wanted Naboth's vineyard. They won't give it to me. I told him I'd buy him another vineyard or give him a good price. And Naboth said I couldn't have his vineyard." Jezebel said, "Aren't you the king? Can't you take anything you want at any time you want? Go just take that vineyard for yourself." "So, no, I can't have it. Naboth said I couldn't have it." Jezebel said, "Get up. Get up. Wash your face. Sit down. Eat supper. Start acting like a king and I will get you Naboth's vineyard." And then we see scene 3, which I call a perverse plot. A perverse plot. This wicked woman, Jezebel, decides that she's going to take matters into her own hand, and she schemes and she plots and she plans. And what she does is she writes a letter to some of the members of the local mafia, some of the criminal gangs. And she writes a letter that says, "We're going to declare a holiday. And we're going to make sure that Naboth is sitting in a prominent place on this holiday. And I want two of your worst criminals to be sitting on either side of Naboth. And at a certain time in the middle of this festival, this fast, this celebration, I want those two witnesses to stand up and say to the entire city that they have heard Naboth curse God and curse the king. And then I want you to stone Naboth to death and then stone his sons so that they cannot get his vineyard either." She signed that. She wrote that letter and then she signed King Ahab. And then she took the wax from a candle and melted it on that parchment. And then took the king's very own seal and imprinted the seal in there and delivered it to some of the criminals in that area. And sure enough, before long, there was a festival declared. And Naboth was given a very prominent place right there in the middle of the celebration. And at the very height of this holiday, these two strangers stood up, one on one side of Naboth, one on the other side of Naboth, and one said, "I heard Naboth curse God." The other one said, "I heard Naboth curse the king. You know what must be done. It is established in the mouth of two witnesses. We must stone him." And they grabbed Naboth, this noble, fine family man, this wonderful citizen, and they drug him out through his vineyard, out to a place where they had stored up rocks. They ripped his garments off of him, and they took the pile of stones that they had conveniently prepared for just this deed, and they began to throw these stones at him. And they threw, and they threw, and they threw until his blood splattered and his brain was scattered, until his skull was crushed like an egg under the heel of a giant, until he lay there dead. And then they said, "Let's kill his sons too, so they can't inherit the vineyard." And so they drug his little boys out there and they stoned the boys to death. And then they laughed as they left and completely ignored the little widow who was there trying to beat the dogs away as the dogs were licking up the blood of her husband and her sons. There's the murder in the vineyard. The next scene in this drama is what I call a visit to the vineyard. Because when word comes back to wicked Jezebel that Naboth is dead, she finds Ahab perhaps in the middle of some official act. And she goes into there and she sneaks up to Jezebel and she whispers in Ahab's ear, "Naboth is dead. The vineyard is yours. I told you I'd get that vineyard. What you were going to pay good money for or trade a good vineyard for, I got it for you for nothing. Naboth's dead. The vineyard is yours. Let's go down and let's check it out." And so immediately Ahab left the palace and walked into the vineyard, which just the day before had been owned and loved and tended by Naboth and his family. And now as he walked through those vines, thinking about how he was going to tear the vines down and plant vegetables, he was thinking, "It's good to be the king. I've got what I want, and I got it without even costing me anything." Now, as you come to this part of the story, you may be wondering, where is God? Is there a God in heaven to allow something like that to happen? Where is God? Is God deaf that he cannot hear? Is God dumb that he cannot speak? Is God blind that he cannot see? Where is God? Well, God is where God always is. And at about the same moment that Ahab is walking through that vineyard, God is speaking to his prophet Elijah. And he says, "Elijah, Ahab and Jezebel have murdered Naboth. And I want you to go down there and meet Ahab in that vineyard right now. And I want you to tell Ahab what's going to happen because of what he and his wife have done." And so Elijah starts out running. And he makes it to the vineyard. And as Ahab is walking through the vineyard there, he hears all these strange noises around him. We got special effects in this deal, okay? As Ahab is there in the vineyard, he sees a shadow and he looks behind him. And there standing at the entrance to the vineyard is Elijah, God's prophet. And Elijah looks at Ahab and he says, "God sent me to give you a message." And that's the final scene of Act 1. It is an alarming announcement. An alarming announcement. Elijah says, "Ahab, because of what you have done, God is very angry with you. And Ahab, I say unto you, because you have committed this act of murder, the time is going to come, Ahab, when the dogs who licked up Naboth's blood will lick up your blood. And the time is going to come when you won't have any descendants to sit on the throne, just as you killed Naboth's sons." And then Elijah turned to Jezebel and said, "Jezebel, it's even worse for you. The time is going to come, Jezebel, when the dogs will literally eat your body." And then Elijah turned and he was gone. And that's the murder in a vineyard. And that's Act 1. And then there's an intermission for 1 year. 2 years, 3 years. And we don't really see Act 2 until later on, some of it in 1 Kings, but really most of it in 2 Kings chapter 9. Here's the first scene of Act 2. It's what I call a deceptive delay. A deceptive delay. Because I can imagine after Elijah made that prophecy from God, that every time Ahab heard a dog bark, he jumped. And I can imagine every time Jezebel saw a dog, she didn't like dogs very much. But you know, a year went by and Ahab said, "I'm healthy and well, nothing's happened to me." Another year goes by, "Hey, I'm healthy and well, nothing's going to happen to me." Elijah didn't know what he was talking about. 3 years go by. 3 years go by. And still, nothing's happened to him. And they're laughing about that prophecy. Do you remember when Elijah came there in our vineyard and said that dogs were going to lick your blood? And that fool. But you see, God always has a payday someday. And 3 years after they kill Naboth, there's a battle. The king of Aram is coming to fight against the Israelites and those of Judah. And the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, confers with Ahab, the king of Israel. And Ahab says, you know, Jehoshaphat, they really want me. So when we go into battle today, I'm not going to be dressed like the king. I'm going to disguise myself as an ordinary soldier. And so they went into battle. And indeed, the enemy, they were looking for Ahab, the king of Israel. And they didn't find him anywhere. All they saw was Jehoshaphat. But the battle was going in the favor of the enemies. And so the army of Israel and army of Judah is turning and they're retreating. And they don't even know who Ahab is. And one of the soldiers of the enemy, and the Bible says it's just a total random act, he puts an arrow on his bow and he draws back and he fires an arrow. And this arrow goes directly to the back of Ahab, who is disguised. And Ahab is wearing armor, and that arrow goes right between the seam of two pieces of armor into his back. And he begins to bleed. And he doesn't die quickly. It takes the rest of the day. But his blood drains out into the chariot. And by the time they get back to Jezreel, Ahab is dead. And the dogs come and lick his blood. The final scene in Act 2 is what I call final fulfillment. Because there's still Jezebel, and she's as powerful as ever. She puts one of her sons as the king, and then when he dies, she puts another one of her sons as the king. It wasn't 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 years. It wasn't 12 years. It wasn't 15 years. It's 20 years later. Elijah has already been taken to heaven in a fiery chariot. Elijah's not even on the scene, and I'm sure Jezebel was glad to see him go. And Jezebel has forgotten about this prophecy of the dogs eating her. God has his new prophet called Elisha. And one day God says to Elisha, Elisha, I want you to go down. I want you to anoint Jehu as the new king. And so he goes down and he anoints Jehu as the new king of Israel. And the first order that God gives to Jehu is, I want you to go and take care of Jezebel. And so Jehu gets his soldiers together and he's riding his chariot toward the city of Samaria where Jezebel is at this time. And they see Jehu and some of his soldiers coming. And so they send out someone to find out what they're doing. And this scout approaches Jehu and says, why are you coming? And Jehu says, you better get on my side instead of on that side. And so the scout joins Jehu. They send out another scout. Jehu, do you come in peace? And Jehu says, you better get on my side and not be on her side. And that scout joins them. And so Jehu rides up to the walls of Samaria. And there is Jezebel gathered on the walls of Samaria with all of her soldiers, thinking that she's in charge. And the Bible says that this woman who for 20 years has hated the prophecy of Elijah has painted up her face, painted her lips, and she looks down at Jehu and says, why do you come to see me this day? And Jehu looks up at her and says to the soldiers of Jezebel, who is on the Lord's side? If you're on God's side, throw that wicked woman down from the wall. And it probably didn't take more than 2 or 3 seconds for some strong hands to grab this wicked woman and cast her to the ground. But the Bible says she wasn't killed by the fall. It was the dogs that came and began to feed on her body. And later that evening, when Jehu, who now is the new king of Israel, has a change of heart, he says, you know, we really ought to bury the body of Jezebel because she was the daughter of a king. Go out and bury her. His aides come back and they say, sorry, there's nothing left to bury. And R.G. Lee always said when he preached this sermon, Payday Sunday, he always finished it with these words, the judgments of God sometimes have leaden heels and travel slowly, but they have iron hands and they crush completely. And as we think about how all the promises of God always are carried out in His timing, You remember that there always is a payday someday. And Galatians 6:7 is a warning and an invitation to all of us. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Let's pray. Now, Father, I ask that you will teach us from this wonderful story from the Bible that we never get away with anything that we think we get away with, and that your promises are always fulfilled, even if we think it takes a long time. You have told us, Father, that with you, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. And we know that sometimes with both your punishment and your rewards, you just don't get in a hurry. Help us to love you. Help us to fear you. Help us to respect you, to honor you, but most of all, to obey you. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.